This is CliffCentral.com.
Well, here he is. He's the king of soul, Mr. Anthony Hamilton.
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm great. You're looking so good. You're looking like a man who's found a new lease on life.
Hey, feels like it. Feels good.
Well, it's interesting. Like, you've never been tired. You do. Mm-hmm. Your stuff is so fresh, man, from the get-go, and you just never have let up. How do you keep that going?
Just the love, the passion you have for something. You know what I mean? It outweighs anything that would try to hinder it. So just loving it and seeing people who love it, they pour that back into you, the appreciation for you and your music.
Do you ever think about what you might have done if you were a singer?
I know already.
What was it?
I was a barber, cutting hair.
Wow.
Yeah, cutting hair. And
that's like a psychologist role, barber, community leader.
Yeah,
that's all those things, right?
Yeah. And that was fun.
For me.
I was a singing barber.
We've got all these kind of barbershop quartet, these historical stories of people who did that stuff and how they started off kind of singing to people and then people heard them before they knew it, they were climbing up the ladder. But I mean, with your story, you've also got a connection with South Africa, which I really appreciate. You actually were here in August.
Yes.
Last. And you come here fairly often. You've got connections to a lot of our local artists.
Mm-hmm.
You're very much embedded in the South African culture. We kind of have a huge number of people here who love you and love your music.
That's good.
Yeah. So why South Africa? What was the first point of contact?
You know what? When I was a little younger, I was like, you know what? I want to go to Africa. And then I knew about Ghana. Some of my people had went to Ghana, but I've never been to the West. But when I came here, it just felt like it was right. It felt like I was like, this is it. Maybe I get to Ghana one day, but I think this is
right now. We'll keep you.
I think this
we're not
is home.
In a hurry to hand you over to Ghana. If that's okay.
I don't think it's. I think I'm already here now. So Ghana's going to have to just have me as a visitor.
Now I've been aware of you since 2003-04.
Oh yeah,
somewhere around there.
Coming from where I'm from.
That's right.
Yeah,
and I mean you've occupied a very interesting role in music, because you've been this soul guy, and you've done so much of your own music. You've occasionally done other people's music too. You do a lot of collaborations, but you've got a very distinctive kind of signature style to you, which I suppose, you know, you could say about a lot of artists, but in your case it's been something that's been very consistent. Is that because you've purposefully gone out to keep it consistent, or is there some part of you that's been happy to almost do the stuff that's expected a lot of the time, and that your audience love and know, with a bit of experimentation here and there? I mean, how does it all work in your head? Is it very carefully managed? We all like to think that these things are worked out, that there's an architecture that happens.
I think once you identify who you are musically and you believe it, then you stick to it. You're comfortable with it, and you have this blueprint that feels like it is the truth. I stick with that, and wherever I go, whether it's in the hip hop genre of music or country or blues, I just bring that with me, and we create from there. And I think when you know who you are musically and what makes you feel good and what makes your fans feel good, you can adapt to the rest of it and put a new spin on it.
They've called you Skumbuzo.
Right?
I mean, it's like you're that ingrained here, and you're that much a part of kind of the local music scene to some degree. And it's interesting to me that you probably have a very integrated following in South Africa in respect to the fact that people here think of you as kind of being one of our own, even though you're not.
Yeah.
And you must have very real relationships with a lot of people in this country. Do you want to tell me about some of those? I mean, who are the people that you, when you land here, you know you're going to see them, you make contact, you plan stuff around them, and they plan stuff around you. These are really good friends and sometimes really good collaborators and colleagues.
Yeah, Mandisa.
Mandisa, yeah?
Mandisa, yeah. She's been a publicist and has done a lot for us over the years. She's won Felix. There's a few people that we've consistently been in contact with. We've met some new people along the way, Clyde and some of the other hosts have, who've been really good to us. So I think we're just extending the family now and building on that.
Do you get time to relax, or is it all work?
It's both. Yeah. Yeah, in between stations, I take a nap sometimes. But often, for the most part.
Yeah, I wonder, because you seem to maximize the time too, but it must be kind of nice to come here and relax. And I think people here know who you are, and they might stop you and they might ask for a picture or an autograph or something all the time.
A lot.
But do you get to totally release and kind of go off on your own and be quiet and actually have some alone time?
Yeah, I make sure I do that. I go to my hotel room and I just sit in there. I might not even turn the TV on for 2 or 3 days. And then we've done to safari.
Yeah.
We've done that.
Get out into the wild.
Yeah, I like it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What do you think that brings up in all of us? Because some people love it, some people really don't.
You know what? It's just that, the unknown, the unexpected could happen at any moment. And I'm okay with it.
Now, you are here for a 2018 headline, or was this one that you've already done, the Mahikeng Cultural Music Festival?
That's coming up.
That's coming up on the
9th.
Because you were here for another festival not so long ago.
Yes, it was, what festival was that? It was around Women's Month.
Right. So this one in Mahikeng, have you been there before?
Have I been there? I'm not sure. It sounds like it. It sounds familiar to me. But I've been quite...
Have you been to the O2 Festival or to the...
Yeah, I've done O2. I've done O2. I've been to a festival in Bloemfontein.
Okay. What did you think of Bloemfontein?
I love Bloem.
You do?
Yeah,
that's so nice
country.
Of you, because most people in Bloemfontein don't even like Bloemfontein. You're a real gentleman.
I'm a real country laid back. It was just, I saw the ponds and it was just countryside. Remind me back at home.
I sometimes think when I listen to your music, I wonder how many... couples have made love to an Anthony Hamilton soundtrack.
I know the Obamas have, so.
Yeah, now that's quite something. Wow.
So that's a good start.
That is a very good start. Do you think that you've helped people to have better love lives just through your music? I mean, that's a powerful position to be in.
You know what? I like to think that I've allowed some men to have better dialogue.
Get in touch with their feelings a little bit.
Get in touch with their feelings. To speak to a woman a certain way and be open, and to communicate how they really feel, whether, it's what she wants to hear or not, but the truth sometimes opens up the room for growth.
Why do you think so many of us guys battle with that stuff?
I think a lot of times if we're so totally truthful, we don't want to hurt someone's feelings. And sometimes you hold on to relationships and things that it might not be the best place for your growth.
Yeah.
But this is a great person. You don't want to damage him. So you hold on. But
it comes from a good place.
It comes from a good place. You mean well, but sometimes if you hold on too long, you can damage that person. So I think we should learn to get out and be open and honest a lot faster, so the healing can take place.
Yeah, I think also a lot of guys aren't entirely sure of how we deal with our own feelings, right? Because we're taught that if we are too emotional, that it's a weakness, not a strength.
I don't mind. I don't mind crying. I don't mind crying on stage. I think it's freeing. But until you get to that place, it's going to be, it's foreign to you.
Well, we're living in a time now where there's a lot of reflection going on about the way that men treat women, the way that women... react to men, and we hear, just the other day, in fact it was this week, I heard that Baby It's Cold Outside song, which has been around for
Baby It's Cold Outside,
that's it, been around for thousands of years. Now they're thinking about the lyrics and they're saying, well, in a Me Too era, we shouldn't be singing about, well, you should stay here because it's cold outside and why don't you just snuggle up next to me. Now what do you think of that? Do you think that it's gone a little bit far?
I think wrong is wrong, and you know what's wrong, and you know what's unbalanced, and when it's not a good place. But there's nothing wrong with passion, and nothing wrong with people being intimate if it's agreed.
And flirting with each
other. There's nothing wrong with healthy flirting. And when it's unbalanced and someone feels uncomfortable, then you should know, and you should be able to feel that if you're going a little too much. I think sometimes when you're inebriated and you're liquored up... You know,
who hasn't been there though?
The boundaries, you know, so you do that. But for the most part, a little flirting is healthy.
You've worked with so many people that I want to ask you about. I mean, it's a thrill already just to have you here and talk to you about your own music.
Thank you.
But there are people you've worked with, some of these great names and some of these new talents that make it, I think, for you quite exciting because it's almost different in every project, right?
Yeah.
Who have you not worked with that you still have on the hit list of people you'd really like to collaborate with?
Well, just recently, one of the people I wanted to work with was Eric Clapton.
Oh.
And yeah. I have two songs on his new Christmas album, which is pretty awesome. He took two of my songs that I had recorded and put them on his album. And we look forward to writing together. So that's one. I always wanted to work with B.B. King and never got a chance to work with B.B. King. Al Green, I worked with Al Green, which was awesome. D'Angelo would be one of my favorite collabs.
Yeah, that's been...
Lyra and Zonke, we've been trying to work together. Especially Zonke and I. So that would probably be a really good one. There's a lot of great talent out here.
Well,
Pharrell. I would love to write with Pharrell.
I mean, you could go through the laundry list, and I suppose you wouldn't necessarily stop because you're a creative guy. So you can see ways that all these people could end up being collaborators in some way. But I'm interested. You said Lyra and Zonke, and I mean these are two South African celebrities, singers, talents.
Yeah.
What do you think we have that makes us unique? I'm asking you now with your musical ear to almost try to identify what it is that we do that no one else is doing or that we could do better.
I think the sound is organic. It's not super commercial. It doesn't sound like it to me. Maybe because I'm coming from America where most music is commercial. It feels
You mean like heavily produced?
Heavily produced, trying to be popular, it sounds like a honest sound coming from an honest place here in Africa. And when I hear it, that's what it sounds like to me. Whereas back in America, people want to be popular, so they do the popular sound, and it sounds sterile. Here, it doesn't sound like that to me.
Do you think there's ever going to be this golden zone? I mean, you've experienced it in your career, so probably... In terms of practice, your answer is going to be yes. But this golden zone where like the commercial stuff, the stuff that sells, that makes you money, that you know if you get up on a stage, you do that. Or if you, in the old days when record sales could still, you know, fund a career.
Yeah.
Where that stuff is in equal measure to that original, creative, brilliant stuff that you're just doing as an expression, that you're creating. It's so authentic. It's so real.
I think it's going to come at a point in time with all that's going on in the world that people are going to need that again. They're going to need to feel that music and hear it, and they're going to need something to lean to get through some of the ignorance and the evil and the hate. And I think there'll come a time when it'll resurface and become that important again.
Like, do you feel we're making progress in that ignorance and that hate and that difficulty?
I think we're just starting to see it. I think people are really now, they have so much hate in them now that they don't hide it anymore. So now we're able to see where people are coming from. And so we'll deal with it from here. But I think it may get worse before it get better. Hopefully not, but, you know.
But I mean, there must be some part of you that says, look, it must have been much harder for those people in the 1950s and 60s.
Of course it was. It was a lot worse. But it's a different time now. It's a lot of it is the same, but it's just a different way that it happened.
Well, I mean, you sing a lot about love. You sing a lot about understanding, about fighting that ignorance.
Yeah.
And I think your music has played a role in making people feel closer together, not further apart. Do you feel that the politicians are almost like doing the opposite?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. There's a few that stand in the way of growth. There's a few that stand in the way of mending things that have been broken for fear of losing power or whatever their fear. But I do believe deep down inside they got to know that they're suffering. And hopefully one day they'll realize that they need to change.
They need to listen to more songs.
They need to come to an Anthony Hamilton concert in South Africa.
Damn right. Yeah, that's where the love is. Do you care about awards? You've won so many awards in your career. You've been honored by a number of people and organizations. Do these things matter to you? Do you put them up in your house? Are you someone, I mean, you should justifiably be proud of them, but some people kind of, yeah, you know, that just goes in a box.
You know what? Any accomplishment, when you come from, you know, not having a lot and you start to gain recognition for something that you believed in when you thought maybe nobody would ever see it your way. It's kind of good to be recognized and celebrated. But I do put those awards up and forget about them. I don't dust them off too often. They just become part of the furniture after a while. But then every now and again, you'd be like, wow, I did that.
That's right. Walk past it and suddenly you're
like, yeah, eventually you double back and be like, wow, thank you, God. I really appreciate the ride.
Do you think that in a singer's career, and you've had an incredible career and you continue to have an incredible career, do you think that it's 50% talent and 50% hard work, or do you have a different metric for that?
Oh, it's definitely business. When I first got into it and I was like, I want to sing,
yeah,
I was just all about the music, and you get in and you realize like you have to know the business, or you're going to get robbed and you're going to be singing and come home and singing to nothing. So I had to adapt to learning what the contracts were saying, what my rights were as a writer, as a singer.
Did you get burned during that process?
Oh, yeah, I got a few.
You get taken for a ride by some agents, some managers, some
record companies.
Yeah,
my first manager, they wanted half of the publishing and all, which he was like, well, I'm putting you on, you're here, best deal you ever had. I was like, okay, cool. But all that stuff reverted back to me after so many years. But you learn. And I started to surround myself with people who had the knowledge, who have been in it for a long time.
Did you get bitter at all that you had to hand over all that money? Because it must have been, especially when you started your career, there was still money to be made in records, right?
Well, the album never came out because I was on Uptown and I was opening up for Jodeci and, you know, had Mary J. Blige, Heavy D and all these amazing groups.
Wow.
But the company fell apart.
I just got chills. You said Jodeci, Mary J. Blige and Heavy D. Wow. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, and you know, that album didn't never really get a release. So I had a chance to really be thankful for it. Yeah. Well, it could have worked out. You know, sometimes you got to pay your dues.
And sometimes having 50% of something is better than having 100% of nothing.
Better than cutting hair and, you know, eating ramen noodles every day. But there was some good times too.
Now, when you're not touring, which I imagine takes up the majority of your time, what do you think of as home? I mean, because you could live anywhere in the world, really.
Charlotte, North Carolina is home. That's where I was born and raised.
And you go back?
Yeah, I go back.
And that's where you live most of your time when you are off? Are you doing something for Christmas this year?
I have three little ones. I have boys. I have six boys. Yeah, three older and three younger. I was married for a while, and most of the time on the holidays, I'll get them so that mom can get her brain back.
Right.
Because they are busy. So I'll do that. I'll go get them and keep them for the remaining of the school. Yeah.
Did any of them ever go on tour with you?
Oh, yeah. They've all been gone. I've had them all on the road, on the tour bus.
You ever wonder what it must feel like to them to have a dad like you and to have someone who everybody else, they have to share you with everybody, really? Because if you go out as a family, let's say you just go. Say you go shopping for Christmas presents, right? And you're with them. It's not normal.
I try to go when it's not.
But how did they respond to the fact that their dad is Anthony Hamilton?
The younger one, Doug, the youngest one is 6 and the twins are 8. So they're kind of like, you're famous? Like Michael Jackson? I say, in Africa, I am.
I don't think you can walk around North Carolina without people knowing who the hell you are.
It's a little different. It's a little different. You know, that's sometimes I go into the grocery store and I end up doing a photo shoot.
Yeah.
Or like Target, which is one of the department stores.
Yeah.
You have to take pictures. And then my older boys, they're like, Anthony, he gets aggravated. He was like,
Anthony Jr.
Yeah, he just wants me to be dad and just, y'all just leave him alone.
Do any of them look like they might want to follow in your footsteps? Because there's obviously a talent there that's inherited, but there's also, there might be that you're a role model to them, that they're your boys, that they love what their dad is and the success that you've had, and they're proud of you, and maybe sometimes they want to emulate that.
Yeah, but I let them know, like, you don't have to compete with what I've done. You can have your own journey, your own career. Just be great at being your best you. And you don't have to worry about ever topping anything. You don't ever have to win a Grammy. You don't ever have to sell an album. Just, you know, be your best you. And if you want to get into music or whatever, then you can. Anthony does, like, dance hall, techno, trance.
Oh, wow.
Dubstep, kind of. He started doing that, and he's doing graphics. And then Romero, he graduated from Cal State LA, theater and dance. Tristan wants to design video games. And the twins, they want to be rock stars. And the six-year-old wants to be.
Everybody's got an idea, huh?
Yeah.
None of them are directionless. These kids have got ambition.
Yeah, they kind of know. They've been sticking pretty true to what they said they wanted to do.
That must be very gratifying for you as a dad.
It is. The youngest one wants to box, so we'll see how long that lasts. He's six now.
You gonna support him if he wants to do that? Yeah, for real?
He's got hands.
That's amazing. I'm curious also, like, you have had a lot of interactions with people on social media, like so many of us in the media business now.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's really good, and sometimes it's a little bit annoying. And social media can be a very poor reflection of what's really going on in society and what people are really feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Do you manage your own social media? Do you often go on there? And if it's not, because, you know, places like Twitter can be horrible, even for someone who's likable like you are.
Yeah, they'll find something.
To moan about.
Yeah, Twitter will find something to like you said, to moan about and to complain and to judge you about. So I took a little minute off of Twitter for a minute. I'm back on now. Not as much as I used to. I used to go really hard.
Have you got rules that you now follow that when you're on there, you're not going to react, you're not going to get angry?
No,
you're
I don't get angry at people. Every now and again, you'll ruffle the feathers a little bit. And I will. I have a sharp tongue if I have to. But I try not to hurt nobody's feelings. But I will politely put you in your place. And especially with people with politics, or, you know, Black Lives Matter and all that stuff. If you say the wrong thing, All Lives Matter, or if you say the wrong thing, people go crazy.
There's no sense of humor for some of them, and no subtlety, right?
And these people that really was just praising my music, oh, I love you so much. Whose side are you on? And all day, I'm like, God almighty.
People are looking for fights.
Yeah, they look for it. But, you know, you have to be smart about your approach and don't respond in anger. That's the best way.
Do you feel that a lot of the music industry is so tied into social media now?
Like, of course.
Like a lot of new artists, if they don't have some kind of a following on social media, in some ways it's harder, right, than it was for you, but in some ways it's easier, because if you've got the talent, you've got the ability, and you've got that determination and the drive that you had, you would have made it in the social media world just as you might have in the world that you did make it.
Yeah, because people get a piece of you a little bit each day that they wouldn't normally get without social media. So they buy into whatever lifestyle you're selling. And if you're good at keeping up the salesman pitch, then you're good. And if you have a little bit of talent behind it, you're on your way.
Is there stuff that you won't post on social media? Are there little lines you don't cross?
I don't try to do, I don't like overly sexual stuff or stuff that's making fun of people who may be handicapped or have a problem or certain things that I just don't agree with. I don't get into that. But, you know, I have my views that I think some of them should just be my views. And I think I can share some with other people. I think the rest of them you talk to God about. And
I think there's probably going to be more value in privacy one day than there will be in.
Yeah, some people don't believe in it. I heard Denzel said, you know, everything is not public. You don't have to, like, every day, everything that you're doing, pretty much talking about social media, like, you know, it's okay to go to the bathroom and not post it. It's okay to You know what I mean? Comb your hair, brush your teeth, and not post it. You know, he said it in his own words, but pretty much is what he was saying. Like, you don't have to give everything away to everybody. Not every second.
Well, I'm also, you got some real friends like Ken Orr. I mean, how...
Ken Orr?
Yeah.
You know Ken?
Yeah, well, I know the name. I mean, I know him through reputation. I wish I knew him personally.
Ken, you got... I just talked to Ken. I was really? In the airport. Yeah.
Yeah, he... What an incredibly creative human being that is.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, Ken. Yeah.
And how did you two become such good friends?
Well, Ken... I met Ken through actually a producer who's even closer to Kelvin Wooten, who did Pass Me Over.
Yeah.
Did Cool, Never Love Again, and all these great songs. And I met him through Kelvin. He was doing like inspirational music.
Right.
And yeah. So I met him through then, and he invited us to his house, and his wife cooked this amazing meal. And I remember sleeping on this couch.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't play around. You wow. feed me, I'm going to take a nap. So, yeah.
They better be ready for you in Mahikeng.
Yeah, they better, because I will take a nap.
When you go home and you do relax, mm-hmm. I would imagine that music's still a part of your life, even when you're relaxing and you listen to a number of other artists and there's stuff that you are inspired by.
Yeah, sometimes I like quiet. Most of the time I ride in my truck and I don't turn on anything. After a while, the first couple of years, I would listen to my albums like, man, I love it, I love it. And I do it for a long time, and the more albums you put out and the more sound that you hear from traveling and the people, you tend to want to quieten it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll ride a lot with just nothing. But then I'll bump it a little bit. You know, I put on some rap. I like rap. I'm a big hip-hop. Oh, yeah, I'm a big
What hip-hop. Do you think of today's crop of rappers as opposed to, like, your Notorious B.I.G.'s and Tupac's and Diddy's and those guys from the 90s? 2000s.
I go all the way back to the 70s, 80s.
Master P?
No, like Run DMC.
Run DMC, man.
Curtis Blow and
Houdini
and all those cats back in the 80s, 90s. And
that's some special
Flash.
That's some special stuff. Yeah. Grandmaster Flash. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I go back that far. Then you come back, UTFO, you had a lot of great. And I like what some of the stuff 50's done, a lot of his first album, 21 Questions. That album, that was a great one. Kendrick Lamar, I love what he's doing.
He's doing so well, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a bit of that old school in him, though.
He's got a little bit of everything. He's just like, he's an alien with it. he's incredible.
And the little Waynes and the...
Yeah, Lil Wayne has done a lot of great music. He does so much. He puts out loads and loads of music. Yeah, there's a lot of it I love. And there's some I like. And that's some that probably wasn't for me, but it was good to a lot of other people. But he's definitely a talent.
Well, I always thought, and you can tell me if you think I'm full of shit or not, but I always thought that people who only like a certain genre of music are probably not really music fans. Because you can find, and you mentioned earlier, blues and country and rap. And it seems to me that maybe it's also just an effect of getting older and wiser and maybe understanding more about what the world has to offer, but like nobody really cares what genre it is. If it's a song that speaks to you, it doesn't matter whether it's jazz or whether it's hip hop or whether it's, you know, dance music. It doesn't matter, right?
No, it doesn't matter.
A real music fan loves a melody you can or a
find,
beat. Or,
oh yeah, you can find beauty in real music, and if you're open, then it'll touch you. But if you just close-minded, close-hearted person, then nothing will ever penetrate that. You just have to learn to grow and open up. But music definitely, it's special, no matter which way it's it's delivered or interpreted.
That's what your music does.
Yeah, I hope
absolutely.
I can continue
you
to do
you
it.
Can even get into the heart of some cold-hearted, closed-minded person. I've seen it happen.
Hey,
speaks to us all, man.
I appreciate it.
What an absolute pleasure to have you in South Africa. All the best for the festival.
Thank you, guy.
And please come back and visit us some more. Why don't you buy a house here?
I'm going to start looking at property.
Yeah. I think it's about time.
About that time.
We need to call you a part-time South African.
Hey, we can do it.
The King of Soul, Anthony Hamilton. He is going to be performing at the Mahikeng Cultural Music Festival, which is happening very, very shortly. We will make sure we post all the details of that and you get your tickets ASAP. Anthony Hamilton, thank you, sir.
Thank you. And follow me at Anthony Hamilton Official on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
There we go.
Yeah.
I
was about to say MySpace.
Yeah, that's old school.
Oh, my God. It's been 30 years.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. This is CliffCentral.com.